Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Yuma Chaf Aleph. We are finishing up today, God willing, the 21st, the first parak of the Masechta, and we are on the top of the Amud. We saw yesterday machlokas between Rav and Rabbi Shila in terms of what the Mishnah means. The Mishnah told us that the Kriyas Hagever, Bechol Yom Tov Mitzvah Mizbeach, and every day we would do the mitzvah of Trumas Hadeshen, removing a shovel full of ash off the top of the Mizbeach and depositing it next to the ramp, in the east side of the ramp. So the Mishnah says that was done in the morning, when at the point of Kriyas Hagever. So what exactly is Kriyas Hagever? So the Amoraim have a machlokas, Rav and Rabbi Shila. Rav says that Kriyas Hagever is talking about a person, a man, a veker, and Rabbi Shila says, no, it's talking about a rooster. As I pointed out yesterday in the bracha of Asher Nasan Sechvi Vina Lavchim and Yom Avein Laila, so again, the Mefarshim also debate exactly what that means, and again, it comes down to either it's talking about a person, it's talking about a veker, it could be both. But in the context of our Mishnah, so what does it mean? So as we just pointed out to Machlokas, yesterday we saw Rav and Rav Shila actually were together at one point. Rav turned into the Amora of Rabbi Shila. And, we saw yesterday they disagree. They disagree in terms of what exactly it means. We have Bryces supporting both of those positions. So yesterday we saw a Bryces supporting the position of Rav. That was yesterday's daf. Today's daf, we're going to see a Bryces supporting the position of Rabbi Shila. We're on the top of Chaf Aleph and Aleph, and we're starting from the third line down. Tanya Kavase de Rabbi Shila. We have a Bryces supporting Rabbi Shila. Yosel Aderech. Karim Agriyas Agevedama Birosho. So the Braisa says, don't walk out too early in the morning. It's nighttime, it's not light outside. Dama Barosho, you take your life into your own hands. It's dangerous. So therefore, says the Braisa, you shouldn't go out before Kriyas Hagever. Now, what exactly does that mean? So the Braisa will tell us, Rabbi Yoshi Omer, Aishi Yishana V'Yishomer, Aishi Yishalish. So the Rabbi Yoshi says, you should wait to hear it twice. And some say you should wait to hear it three times. Wait to hear what? Uve'iza Tarnagol Amru. So here the Braisa says it. The Braisa says we're talking about a tarnagol. What kind of tarnagol? But tarnagol beinoni. So the Braisa says we're talking about a tarnagol beinoni. So Rashi says, you know, there's some roosters crow really early in the morning, some crow later in the morning. So we're talking about the middle rooster. Okay, if you know what that means, that's great. That means you're holding. You're holding by roosters and the crow of the roosters. And if you don't know what that means, so I'm with you. So, but okay, anyway, but tarnagol beinoni. So good. So what have we shown through the second brisa that we have a brisa supporting Rabbi Shila Elu ve'elu. They both have what legs what to stand on. The Gemara now is going to take us through the end of the perek with a statement, and with this statement, really we are going to bring us to the end of today's daf. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Shashi saw olam l'rego omdim tzfufim mishtachvim revachim. When Yisrael was olam l'rego, so they would stand up tzfufim. They would stand up and they were all huddled together. Umishtachim revachim. However, when they bowed down, so they were the hishtachavaya, it was done. There was plenty of space. So first of all, when would we bow down? So if you take a look at Rashi. So Rashi says, ukishimishtachvim menoflim nasim lanez va'amakum archiv ashish b'neim arba amos. Shalo yishma ish vidu isho chaver shalo yichaleim. So Rashi says, I'm sorry, Rashi over here is talking about the purpose. The purpose of why there should be so much space. So it's funny, you would have said the pshat is just so that there'd be room. So Rashi says it's more than that. Because when you would bow down, it would be during your vidui. And during your vidui, you would actually be articulating what you did wrong. And if you're right next to another person, so it's no longer a secret. So Rashi says part of the reason why there's room that's created between two people is so that you don't suffer the embarrassment of having him to overhear what you're confessing. So good. So that's one of the miracles that took place during the Beis Hamikdash. So acha, I'm sorry. Tzvufim mishachim revachim v'nimshachin achas esrei ama achor beis hakaparos. And there were 11 amos, right? These 11 amos we talk about time and again. If you take a look at the Beis Hamikdash, so you'll notice that there was a small space between the actual Beis Hamikdash, the edifice itself, and the back wall. 11 amos. So my kamar. So the Gemara says, what was that last line coming to teach us? Hachi kamar. So the Gemara says, no, that last line was going back on the first part of the Braisa, or the first part of the Memra. Even though there was only an 11 Amma space, and because of that, they were really squeezed into that area. But nevertheless, when they bowed down, there was plenty of room when they bowed down. One of the 10 miracles that takes place during the Beis HaMikdash. And then the Gemara quotes a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. And with this, will take us through the rest of today. Now we learned in the Mishnah Pirkei Avos. This is the fifth parak of Pirkei Avos. Asar Nisim Shanasu. Sorry. Asar Nisim Nasu Beis HaMikdash. So there are 10 miracles that took place in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, now you know how this is going to work. If you've been in the daf long enough, you'll know. So now we're going to basically do a lot of accounting. Because the magic number is 10. We need to get to 10 miracles. And so we count, because you'll see that the number over here is not really 10. So number one...
Still talking about the second one?
Presumably it's talking about the first Beis HaMikdash. In fact, the Gemara is going to make... On the Amud Beis, we're going to talk about the differences between Beis Rishon and Beis Sheni. So lo yipil isha mireach basar HaKodesh. So number one, woman never miscarried after smelling the Reach HaKodesh, the basar Reach HaKodesh. So your neighbor's barbecuing, so you know the smell. So can you only imagine the smelling it from the Beis HaMikdash? So it wasn't a foul odor, but nevertheless we've seen time and again throughout the Gemara that when women have a certain smell, so it can endanger them while they're pregnant. So a woman never miscarried from smelling the basar that was being burnt on the Beis HaMikdash. Two, lo yisrich basar kodesh me'olam. So the meat never spoiled. Obviously, a nace meat tends to spoil, but not the meat of not basar kodesh. Three, lo nira zvuv beveis hamitbachayim. So there was never a fly in the Beis HaMitbachayim. Again, you go to a shechted meat, dead animal, carcass of an animal. Normally, there are flies swarming all over the place, not in the Beis HaMikdash. Four, lo ira kohen keri lekohen gadol miyam kippurim. Gemara calls it a nace, which is interesting. But the kohen gadol never became a bal keri on Yom Kippur. Number five, alo nimsa psul beomer uvishtei alechem uvalechem aponim. So we're going to see later on in the daf today that this is really all considered one. So right now, the Gemara is assuming that it's 5, 6, and 7. But we'll see later on, it's really just one. There was no psul by the Karban Omer, by the Shtei Alechem, and the Lechem upon him. And Rashi notes this is a miracle for the following reason. Take a look at Rashi. So Rashi says, L'anim sa psul ba'omer, shim yirbo psul ein acher lavi tachtav. With these Karbanos, these are all Menachos. With these Menachos, this is a one-shot opportunity. In other words, you're going to bring it, and if you can't bring it, then that's it. You're done. Right? Shuhu nixa b'lal motzei yom tov. So Rashi over here says, let's demonstrate this with the Omer. The Omer is the mincha that's born on the second day of Pesach. It's brought to be matir. It allows us to eat all the grain that was grown over the course of the year. The grain up until that point in time is called chadash. After the Omer is brought, all that grain now is called yashan. And the Karban Omer is brought on the second day of Pesach. What to us in Chutz La'aretz would be Yom Tov Sheni, but obviously that wouldn't apply to us. And Eretz Yisrael would be the first day of Chol HaMoed. So what happens, says Rashi, is that Motzei Yom Tov, meaning that's after the first day, after the first night of Pesach, I mean, the first night of Chol HaMoed, Erev Chol HaMoed. So they would have a Katsira. Part of the mitzvah was Kotzer, to harvest. The Ein Marbim Liksur Elekefi Ashir Shel Isaron Menufeh. B'yud Gimel Nafa. And Rashi points out that how much would they harvest and how much would they sift? Just enough to bring one Karban Omer. It would be sifted 13 times, 13 different sieves would sift it. V'chein Shtei Alechem Nafim Erev Yom Tov. And also, the Shtei Alechem, same basic story. Meaning that we would bake the bread. You can't break it on Yom Tov, you have to bake it prior to Yom Tov. V'ein Afiyasam Doche Yom Tov. And you cannot bake it on Yom Tov. V'im Yipasel Lo Yofa Acheres. And again, if it becomes pasul, that's it. You had a one-shot opportunity. And if it becomes pasul, you can't, there's no replacement. Biyantav. V'chein lechem upon him. And Rashi says, and the same halach is true by regarding the lechem upon him. Shenefa me'erev Shabbos, v'im yipasel ein chilof. And once again, by the lechem upon him, if it becomes pasul, that's it. There's no exchange. And omed reka macha bahaba ad Shabbos haba. And the table's just going to sit there bare until the next Shabbos. So what's clear is that all these things, what do they have in common? Says Rashi, they're all one-shot opportunities. You either have it or you don't have it. And if a disqualification, if a psul takes place with these menachos, that's it, we're done. And so says the Mishnah, so in Pirkei Avos, another miracle. Right? Again, right now we're going to count that as three separate miracles, although later on we'll consolidate it into one. And that is, there was no psul by the Omer, by the Shtei Alechem and the Lechem upon him. And they were all successfully brought.
Why did they leave the Lechem upon him the next week? Rather than leaving the
Shulchan empty, there's no replacement. Omdim tzfufim umishtachavim revachim. So they would stand up straight and crowded, and when they bowed down, and there was plenty of room, as the Gemara mentioned earlier. Okay, so again, right now I'm losing track in terms of numbers because it's 5, 6, 7. It just should be number 8. Okay, but we'll know later on it's not really number 8. It's really number 6. Give me a moment. Velo hizik nachash v'akar v'yushalayim me'olam. Okay, and no one ever got bitten by a snake or a scorpion. Again, the Gemara calls that a miracle. Like, we live not with a lot of snakes and scorpions, so to us it doesn't seem that miraculous, but Eretz Yisrael Yerushalayim, no one got bitten. And finally, lo amar adam lechaver tzar li hamakom sha'alim b'Yerushalayim. And finally, nobody complained, which of course is a miracle. It's a monumental miracle. And nobody said, right, Rashi says, no one complained about neither the food nor the hotel. Now, anyone who's gone to a hotel knows that it can't be. Can't possibly be. Okay. So, now the... I'm sorry.
Commentaries in the Arts book, it indicates Rashi mentioned about the flies. There's no way it would happen during the second temple.
We need miracles.
The Shekinah had
right.
And all these miracles.
Correct. So these are all by Sri Shani and not by Sheni. Very good. Okay, now here's the problem. The problem is there's a number of problems over here. In other words, we want to get to number 10. That's really our goal for today. And the reason why is because that's how the Mishnah advertises. The Mishnah, the beginning of the Mishnah, says Asar Nisim. So there are 10 miracles. But if you look also at the advertisement of the Mishnah, Asar Nisim Nasu Bebeis HaMikdash, we're looking for Nisim that take place in the Beis HaMikdash. So look, that last miracle, it's a great miracle. No one ever complained about the place they stayed in Yerushalayim. But that's not a Beis HaMikdash miracle, that's a Yerushalayim miracle. So the Mishnah is problematic because, quite frankly, it doesn't give off what it advertises it's going to give off. We want 10 miracles in the Beis HaMikdash, and meanwhile, the last one is Yerushalayim. So the Gemara asks, Pasach Memikdash V'siyim Yerushalayim? So the Gemara says, that last one over there, that doesn't work. It's not about the Beis HaMikdash, it's about Yerushalayim. Ikatar Techron Isa B'mikdash T'tanya. So the Gemara now is going to do its accounting. We're going to go to Brisos elsewhere. We're going to get out other miracles. And by the end of the day today, literally by the end of the day today, so we're going to have a full picture of what the actual 10 miracles are. We're going to add a couple, consolidate a number of them, and so when all is said and done, we will get to the number 10. So, Ikatati Achronesa B'mikdash, Tetanyi Me'olam Lo Kavu Gshamim Eish Shel Atze Amaracha. V'ashen Amaracha Filo Kol Aruchash Ba'olam Ba'os Menashas Bo Ein Mezisa Nosa B'mkamam. So, Gemara now says, I have two more to add to the list. Number one, the Mizbech. We're talking about the Mizbech Achitzan. It was outside. It was standing right in the Azara. So imagine it rains. So you have a barbecue and it rains. So what's going to happen? I mean, some of us have a lid to put over the barbecue, but you know what happens. It all goes out. So, but in the Beis HaMikdash, it didn't go out. Normally, water puts out fire, not in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Eish burned even if it was raining outside. So that's another miracle. A second miracle mentioned in the Braisa. The Ashina Maracha, a cloud of smoke comes off the Mizbeach, and it goes in a straight column straight up. And even if the wind was blowing strong, the column of smoke went straight up. Ein Mezizah Nasomim Kamo. It doesn't move it from its place. Okay, so now what we've done is we've added two more Nisim that takes place, and so therefore we're going to remove the Tzarli Hamakom. Tzarli Hamakom is a miracle, but not in the Beis HaMikdash, and we're going to add these two more. Okay, Vesulek.
Answer the question: why did they mention
Yerushalayim? Right, Enachinami. Meaning, why it's even there in the Mishnah Perkei Avos? You're right. That it doesn't resolve. Vesulek, the Gemara says. Now, how about consider the following? V'atanya Rashmaya Bikalnabo. Right, Rashi says the name of a place. Shivik Klicheres Nivlam Bimkomam. Okay, Klicheres after it's used. So, or if it becomes tamei, so what do? You break it. And the Mishnayos tell us that you break a bimkomam, you have to break it in the Azara, and then what? And then disposal. We didn't have to worry about disposal. One of the miracles that take place is that you was laid down on the ground and it just got swallowed right up into the ground, swallowed into the ground. The Amar Abaye Mora Venotza Vidisha Mizbech HaPanima Vidisha Menora Nivalim Bimkoman. And Abaye adds to that this the statement of Rav Shmaya, that Maravinotza, the crop and the feathers of the Ola, the bird Ola, where the Maravinotza has been removed. You remember that throw from the southeast corner of the Mizbeach? It was thrown over the ramp and it was thrown right into the place of the Trumas HaDeshen. Right? Well, at one point in time, I remember we calculated how long a throw that was. It was a good throw. But anyway, it was sitting there on the ground, and that also got swallowed up into the ground. And the Dishon HaMizbeach, and when we cleaned up the Mizbeach and laid the ashes down on the ground, Dishon HaMizbeach HaPanimi, and the Dishon HaMenorah, also the Nivla Bimkomam, they also get swallowed up into the ground. Now it is interesting, as Tosos points out, and Tosos Shishana points this out as well, we don't talk about the actual Trumas HaDeshen, not discussed over here. So was that actually removed? Did it get swallowed up in the ground? So Tosos Yishanim discuss that, argue that point. But anyway, so we have now another miracle. So what are we going to do? So the Gemara says, here's what we're going to do. And here we get to the accounting portion of today's Gemara. Psulei Tlasa Have. So we go back to the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. And that Mishnah in Pirkei Avos had the Psulim. Right? If you look at numbers, what we once called 5, 6, and 7... we're now just going to call it 5, right? If you go back to the Mishnah Pirkei Avos, lo nimsa psul be omer shtei alechem lechem upon him. So at one point we thought that was 5, 6, and 7. The Gemara now is going to say no, it's not 5, 6, and 7. It's really 1. Psul itlas ahavu chushmanay bechad. So now we're going to take that down, remove that down to 1. Apitrei va'ayotrei. So the Gemara says, so now take. So we have 2 out because 3 we consolidate into 1, leaving us 2 open. Vile train and insert these 2 miracles. So Yahachi, the Gemara says, once you're consolidating, so blue nami tre havu chushmanay bechad. So the Gemara says, so the absorption into the ground. So it's true that various things got absorbed into the ground. The clay cheres and the dishon is be'ach apnimi and the dishon hamenorah, they all got absorbed into the ground. But still, it's just absorption. So in terms of categories, that's 1 miracle. So now we're going to put that into the category of 1 miracle, of Belia. So now we're missing. So we have now in the list, going back to the list, we only have 7 items mentioned in the list, plus now only 2 more items. So Chasur Lahu. So now we're Chasur, we're missing, because we know we have to get to the number 10. Ikanami Achrita, the Gemara says, we're going to add 1 more. Da'am Rabbi Yoshua Malevi, Neis Kadoh HaYanasa B'lechem Apanim, Siluku Chesiduro. So the Gemara says, we're going to add another one to the list, and that's the Lechem Apanim. Lechem Apanim was baked on Erev Shabbos. Lechem Apanim went on the Shulchan on Shabbos. Right? The Pasuk says in Parshas Tetzaveh, that's Lefanai Tamid, that the Lechem Apanim is on the Shulchan constantly. Right? The Machlokis in the Gemara as to whether or not the new Lechem Apanim actually slid in as the old Lechem Apanim came off, or just simply had to have been on the same day, either way. It went on the Shulchan on Shabbos. And it stayed there over the course of the entire week. And then it was taken off a week later. So bread, normally, left out for a week, usually stale. And certainly cold. And the Gemara says, Siluko Kisiduro. And meanwhile, when we remove the Lechem upon him, it's as fresh as it was when it was first baked. Shenamar.
Excuse me, but it seems like what you just said, they should have left the Lechem upon him.
If it becomes puzzle, maybe I don't know.
There's a Gemara earlier that says, I think it's a Gemara, maybe it's a Tosfos that says that if they didn't have lechem upon him, that the lechem upon him became puzzle belino.
Right, there were right. The Gemara's discussion. Where the Gemara asked the question.
The Gemara does come out that it's better to leave the lechem upon him there.
Right.
So if there was a psul of the lechem, you would leave it there, but it would be possible.
Right. Right.
But the shulchan wouldn't be raked.
Right.
The right.
The Gemara's question over there was, what happens if I don't have new lechem upon him? So do I leave the old one on?
Either.
Yep.
And that seemed that was the maskon of the Gemara.
I don't remember. I should remember, but I don't. So Shenemar Lasom Lachem Chom Biyom Hilakcho. Gemara quotes the pasuk that the bread was fresh, the bread was hot. So good. So now we seemingly have the number 10. Okay. So we have the list mentioned in Pirkei Avos. So that list gives us a list of 7 plus the we have also the maracha, the smoke from the maracha. The maracha didn't go out, and the smoke went up. So that'll give us now 8 and 9. And that's 7. The havla is right. That'll be 9. And now we have the lechem upon him. V'su lake of Amar Rabbi Levi davar zemesors biadinim avasena makom aron eno menamida. So the Gemara says, but there were other miracles. So how come we're not counting and considering these other miracles? For example, we have a tradition makom aron eno menamida, that the aron is eno menamida. The Kodesh HaKadoshim is an area of 20 amas by 20 amas. Okay, good. We know that the distance between the Aron and the walls of the Kodesh HaKadoshim were 10 amas in each direction. Right, Rashi brings this down. So now, let's think this through. So the Aron, from the Aron to the walls is 10 amas in every direction. And the total area of the Kodesh HaKadoshim is 20 amas, so we have a small problem. And that is, there's no space for the Aron, for the actual Aron itself. To which the Gemara says, Aron eino min amida. Good. So while we are measuring, so things usually in the physical world we live in, so things are restricted to linear measurement, not the Aron. The Aron does not, we don't have to concern ourselves with the actual linear measurement of the Aron. In terms of the space it takes up inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim. V'amar Rabbanai Amar Shmuel Keruvim B'neis HaYomdim. So, and on top of that, also the Keruvim as well. A pair of Keruvim were in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Rashi points out, Shlomo HaMelech made Keruvim that went inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim. If you take a look at the second, three lines down from the, three lines before the end of Rashi. Gufe HaKeruvim Shasra Shlomo Omdim Ba'aretz Eitzel Aron Echa B'Tzafim V'Echa B'Darom. In other words, this is always confusing to me. In other words, there were Keruvim on the Aron, and there were Keruvim next to the Aron. Shlomo HaMelech built Keruvim that went right next to the Aron. Right, we already talked about earlier in the Masechta, we talked back in Shkalim. Shlomo added Shochanos into the Beis HaMikdash. Shlomo added menorahs into the Beis HaMikdash. And now we can add to that list, Shlomo added also Keruvim into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. V'chafneim esrim ama prushos mekir al kir. Now the wingspan of the Keruvim were from one end to the other 20 amas. Kedechsiv knafa kruv chamesh amos nimsu haknafayim machzikim es kol achalal. So now just the wingspan takes up the entire space, interior space. Nimsa ove aguf eno min amida. What about the kruvim themselves? Eno min amida. And so again, so they don't have to be factored in as well. So
you see from this, the wings didn't come out of the back of the kruvim. They came.
Yeah. How do
from where else do we? Because the body of the kruv was behind the wing.
Right. So right. I don't have a good visual, but yes. Okay. So nisi debrai kachashim nisi degavai lo kachashim. So the Gemara says, okay. In terms, you're right. Of course, that's a miracle, and there's nothing to discuss. But in terms of the counting, so the Gemara says we don't count it. Why don't we count it? Nisi degavai. It's the miracle that takes place inside the Beis HaMikdash. It's not something that's evident to everybody. The Mishnah Perkei Avos is talking about miracles that we can see. Mm-hmm. We, the population, the populace, can see. And so therefore, this is not a visual, and so therefore it's not counted. So the Gemara says, what about the Lechem Apanim? Because you counted the Lechem Apanim as one of the 10 miracles. Lechem Apanim in the Beis HaMikdash. Nobody's going to the Beis HaMikdash. Who gets to see the fresh Lechem Apanim? So Lechem Apanim nisi debrayhu. So the Gemara says, no, Lechem Apanim is an external miracle. It's something that we get to see. Damar Reish Lakish my dechsev. So the Gemara says, the Gemara repeats this a number of times throughout Shas. Ala shulchan atahor, where the shulchan is tahor. It's a pure shulchan. What does that mean? It's a pure shulchan, meaning it's susceptible to tumah. It could become tameh. So ala shulchan atahor tahor mechlal shu tameh. So the Gemara says now, just basic halachas of tumah tahara. Why should the shulchan become susceptible to tumah? Kli etz asui lanachas suvachol kli etz asui lanachas ena mekabel tumah. So even though it is a wooden kli. And even though a wooden kli with a toch is normally susceptible to tumah, but there's a halacha that it has to be something which is transportable. It has to be something that you pick up and you move. Rashi brings down, we learn now from psukim through drashas, but it has to be a transportable utensil. So if it's a kli eitz asui lanachas, if it's wood and it's a kli, but I plan on putting it down over here and it's not moving and we have no intention of moving it, it's not subject to tumah. It's not going to be mekabel tumah. And so therefore, the Gemara wonders, how can the Shulchan be considered a kli which is susceptible to tumah? To the Gemara, to which the Gemara answers, and oh, by the way, the Gemara points out another just basic halach in tumah, is that if something is not susceptible to tumah, it also acts as a chatzitza. It will stop, it will become a barrier of tumah. But anyway, but the question still stands, how can the Shulchan be susceptible to tumah? So what happens is that the Shulchan is picked up and taken out and demonstrated to the Ole Regalim. So on Yantav, the Shulchan is actually removed from the Beis HaMikdash, shown to the people. And this miracle showed off to the people. as they're able to watch with their own eyes the fresh lechem on the shochan. Shenemar lasam lechem chom b'yom lechol. Gemara quotes the pasuk again.
So, I have a couple of problems here.
Well, do me a favor. Let's discuss after. Okay, because so, I just want to get through the daf, and we'll cover. I'm available after. V'su leik of ahama Rav Oshia b'shar shabana shloma beis hamikdash nata bo kol mine megadim shel zahav v'ayu motzi imperosem bezmanam uk sharuch v'nashavaz b'hem noshim. So the Gemara says there were other miracles, and so why don't we consider other miracles as well? For example, says the Gemara, the Rav Oshia says that when Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis Mikdash, so he also planted Minei Megadim, okay, various types of trees, and Shel Zahav. Okay, hard to understand, but okay. Vayu Motziim Perusehem Bizmanam. So they would produce fruit, and when the wind blew, so there would be no share. Now the fruit would fall off. And as Rashi points out over here, where's the Rashi? Oh, we'll get to the. I'll read the Rashi in just a moment. Okay, but sorry. The Meganim Shalzav Ayumotzim Perasem Bezmanok Shem Hashem Peras Bem Noshim Shenemar Yir Ash Kalavanim Piryo U Kishe Nichnasu Nachrim LeHechal Yavesh. And when the Nachrim went into the Hechal, so they dried up. Shenemar Ufarach Lavanon Umlal. Withered. V'asid HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'achziron. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring them back. Shenemar paruch tifrach v'tagel af gilas ranan kavod halavanon. So Nasan, I'm sorry, Nasan La. So fine. So so we have the trees. The trees that were planted by Shlomo. Gold trees producing fruit. And the Levanon over here is a reference to the base of Mikdash. And as Rashi points out, now let's see the Rashi. And what was the rash that's referred to in the pasuk? Yirash kalavanon piryo. It produces a sound. So mao arash. So Rashi brings down the fourth line down in Rashi. Kisharuch no shevas vehin makishin ze leze. So they would hit one another. So roashim v'nishma koalim v'nishma kolam. So they would produce a rash and the sound. So they were like wind chimes. These trees that were made by Shlomo HaMelech. So again, so how come this is not also added to the list? Nisi dekviya lo kachashiv. So the Gemara says this is a nisi kavua, meaning that this wasn't an event, but rather it was just a built-in nes. The fact that there were gold trees, the fact that they produced sound when the wind blew, all this was just an event. It was a steady miracle. And so we're looking for things which are more like an event-type miracle. Like the bugs don't come down, like the columns of smoke don't teeter back and forth, like the bus in other words, we need events. But things that are just steady and constant are not counted in the list.
But all those other
drops. The Gemara says, okay, good. So the Gemara says, good. Hashadasis lahacha aron ukruvim nami nisi dikviya ninu. So the Gemara says, now we have a second answer. Meaning we asked the question earlier, how come the Aron and how come the Kruvim, which is a miracle, how come that wasn't counted? So previously the Gemara's answer was, they were internal. Nobody saw them. No one saw these miracles. Now we can give a second answer. And that is, it's because that's Kavua. Meaning it's not an event that we get to see, but rather it's just a steady event that happens in the Beit HaMikdash.
All of the negative miracles are still.
Right. The bugs also. Yeah.
The bugs and the woman not getting sick.
You're right.
These are all static.
You're right. So right. Okay. Enochinami. Okay. Fair. But the Gemara feels it's a teretz. It's a second teretz. Amar Marva Hashem Maracha Umihavi Hashem Maracha. So the Gemara says we had a pillar of smoke from the Maracha. The Gemara says really. Vehatanya Chamisha Dvarim Nemru Be'eshal Maracha. So there are five things mentioned regarding the Esh of the Maracha. Number one, Revutza Ka'ari. So regarding the Esh of the Maracha, it's Revutza Ka'ari. Now take a look at Rashi. Rashi writes, Revutza Ka'ari, Gachel Shenafla Min HaShamayim. So Rashi says, we're describing the fire that comes from Shamayim. Okay, as we know, in the first base of Mikdash, so obviously we lit a fire, although I'm giving away the Gemara's answer, we lit a fire down on the Mizbech, but also in addition to that, a fire descended from Shamayim to help. So, meaning, truth of the matter is, as the Gemara is going to point out, we really helped the Kadosh Baruch Hu, but right from what it looked like from us, in other words, the fire descended. And this fire was a constant fire on the Mizbech, this Ish Min HaShemayim, and it was there until Menashe. You know, right? How many times does Menashe come up recently in the Gemara? Right? Menashe, the son of Chizkiyahu, So he somehow eliminated the fire. So Haisa Domala Ari Rovates. And what did the fire look like? It actually took on a shape. And the fire took on the shape of Ari Rovates, a crouching a lion. Okay? So number one, regarding this fire, it's Revutzakari. And Uvara Kechama. It's clear, it was clear sun. Vyeshba Mamash. And it was substantial, meaning usually a fire is something which doesn't, in other words, you can't actually push it. This was substantial. And Ochelas Lachim Kiyaveshim. And it consumes. And it consumes, it can consume moist as much as it can consume dry. The Eino Mala Ashan. And finally, number five, it's Eino Mala Ashan, so it doesn't produce a smoke. It's a smokeless fire. So we're bothered because we talked about one of the Asar Nisim that took place in the base of Mikdash is that the smoke that comes from the fire on the Mizbech. And meanwhile, we have over here, it's a Braisa, it's whatever it is, it's a Memra. That's a Braisa. So it's a Braisa that says that there is no smoke that comes off the fire. So the Gemara's answer, Ki Kamrina B'dehejot. So the Gemara says, okay, but there were two fires on the Mizbech. One that we created and one that was provided by Kadosh Baruch Hu. So the fire that we created produces a smoke. The fire that was produced by Kadosh Baruch Hu, smokeless. Ditanya Menasim and Aaron HaKohen Eshal HaMizbeach Afa Pi She'esha Redim Min HaShamayim Mitzvah La'avi Min HaHejot. So the Gemara's answer is, yeah, there were two fires that existed simultaneously on the Mizbeach. One produced by us, one provided by Kadosh Baruch Hu. So we produced a smoked fire and Kadosh Baruch Hu provided a smokeless fire. Revutzakari V'atanya, the Gemara says it's Revutzakari. It's crouching like a lion. V'atanya Rabbi Chanina Sgana Kohanim Anira Asiya. So Rabbi Chanina Sgana Kohanim of Psachim Fame. End of the first parak. And we also just recently saw him in Shkalim. So Anira Asiya, I saw the fire. Now he's describing the base of Mikdash. We already know. He's describing by Sheni. He's not describing by Rishon, but still. Urevutza Kekelev. And it was crouching like a dog. So, not a lion, small issue in terms of what the fire took shape of. So, Lokasha kam b'miktash rishon kam b'miktash sheni. So, the Gemara's answer right now is that, well, maybe the difference between them is which base of Mikdash. In the first base of Mikdash, fire took on the shape of an Ari. Second base of Mikdash took on the shape of a Kelev. So, the Gemara says, really? Uve Mikdash sheni mi havai v'ham arav shmua bar ini my dichsi v'eretz aki. I'm sorry, v'eretz abo v'ikabed. V'karina v'ikavda. So we have a Kriyuk Siv. A number of them going to happen throughout Tanakh. Kriyuk Siv in Chagai. And the Pasuk is written V'kabed and read V'kavda with a hay at the end. So Maishna de Mechusar hay. So why is it missing the hay? Elu Chamisha Dvarim Shayu Bein Mikdash Rishon LeMikdash Sheni Be'elu Hain. So the Gemara notes that there are five differences between Mikdash Rishon and Mikdash Sheni. And the five differences are Aron V'Kaporos Ukruvim, we all count that as one. The Aron, the cover of the Aron in the Kruvim, existed in Bayis Rishon, did not exist in Bayis Sheni. So we know already, we just went through Shkalim. So we know already what happened to the Aron. It's put in Geniza. So who was responsible? So the Gemara in Shkalim tells us that Chizkiah was responsible for taking the Aron and putting it into the Geniza. Where was it hidden? Go back to the Shkalim. And, right, so one of the Kohanim thinks he knows where it was located. Eish, remember what happened to him. Eish Ushchina. I'm sorry, Eish. So second difference is fire. Meaning in the Bayis Rishon there was a fire that descended from Shemaim, not in the Bayis Sheni. Ushchina. There was a Shechina. Interesting Rashi over here. So Rashi says regarding the Shechina, not on the Ruach HaKodesh. Okay, apologize. Ruach HaKodesh. Now let's take a look at Rashi. So Rashi's on the Rashi on Aron V'Kaporos U'Kruvim. So Rashi says, Kulachar Milso. Fine. So so Rashi first starts off by telling us that the Aron Kaporos and Kruvim are one. U'Shechina Lo Sharta Bo. There was no Hashar Shechina during the Bayis Sheni. And Rashi says, V'Ruach HaKodesh Lo Haisa B'Nevi'im. There was no Ruach HaKodesh in the Nevi'im. It's interesting. It sounds like from Rashi that there were Nevi'im, they just didn't have Ruach HaKodesh. Kind of like, you know, Nevi'im that don't work, if you will. So, but Mishnah Shtayim L'Dar Yavish Ve'elach. Rashi, like, pinpoints with precision exactly when there was no longer any Nevuah. or there was no longer any Ruach HaKodesh in the Nevi'im. And Rashi says it was the second year, in the correction on the side of the Rashi, maybe perhaps the fourth year, but the Daryavish, King Daryavish. Now we know Daryavish was one of the last kings of Persia. Right? Koresh was the one who allowed the building of the second Beis HaMikdash, and then they stopped the building of the Beis HaMikdash, and then you went through a couple more Persian kings, Nebuchadnezzar, and then Daryavish. According to the Medrash, Daryavish was actually the son of Ahasuerus and Esther. So during the reign of Daryavish, which is now introducing the Bayit Sheni, Second Temple period, so at that point in time, there was no longer any Ruach HaKodesh. Okay? Urim V'tumim. So there was no Urim V'tumim during the Bayit Sheni. So that's a list of five. Now, just in terms of the Urim V'tumim, so we discussed it a couple of times already, it was of Rashi and Chumash, where it brings down. The Urim V'tumim, it's the Shema Mefarish that's placed into the fold. So the Chosh and the Kohen Gadol wore a Chosh, and he wore a breastplate. And it was rectangular, folded in half, so it looks like a square. And the stones of the with the 12 stones representing the 12 shratim were on the front of the choshen. And inserted into the fold was the Shema Mefarish, which what we call the Urim V'Tumim. Why is it called Urim V'Tumim? So again, going back to the Gemara Shkalim, which we did recently, so the Gemara says because it's Meir. In other words, it was like the battery of the choshen. So with the Urim V'Tumim inside, with the Shema Mefarish inside the fold, so the various stones lit up. And not the stones, but the names of the Shvatim actually lit up to give us a message from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The question that was asked usually were questions of, should we go to battle? Should we fight? Are we going to be successful in this war? And then the letters were shown up. So the Gemara here says that in the second Beis HaMikdash, there was no Urim V'Tumim. So Tosfos says hard to understand because if there was no Urim V'Tumim, the Kohen Gadol is now what's called Mechusar Begadim. Right. He's now wearing all of his Begadim, and we know that to be a Kohen Gadol, you have to be dressed in all the Begadim. Second Tosfos on the Amud, Urim V'Tumim Havushim Lo Kain Haya Kohen Gadol Mechusar Begadim. So Tosfos says that from Tosfos it sounds like it is part of the Shemona Begadim. El Elohayu Meshivim L'Nishalam Behem. So Tosfos suggests that it was there, just didn't work. Meaning, right, the batteries were dead, but the batteries were included. Right. In other words, right. There was again. How am I going to describe this? I don't know. But Tosfos is arguing that there was Urim V'Tumim, just simply didn't work. It was ineffective Urim V'Tumim. No, the Urim V'Tumim is just part of the Begadim, the Kohen Gadol. So in other words, as the Kohen Gadol, you have to wear your Shmona Begadim, and your Shmona Begadim included the Urim V'Tumim. So when the Gemara here is telling us that there was no Urim V'Tumim by the Bayit Sheni, so Tosfos is arguing, is it just simply didn't work. It was ineffective Urim V'Tumim. Fine. Anyway, we're in the middle of a question. What's the Gemara's question over here? Again, we had a discrepancy. We had described the Eish and the first base of Mikdash was Revutza Ka'ari. It was crouching like a lion. Again, we're describing the Eish that descended from Shemayim. And then we have another Memra that says that the Rabbi Chanin is going to come on and says, I saw it, Revutza Kekelef. Looked like a dog. So the Gemara says, well, how do I understand that discrepancy? So the Gemara is the first attempt to explain the discrepancy is that whether there's a difference between Bayit Rishon versus Bayit Sheni. To which the Gemara says, but there was no Eish in Bayit Sheni. In fact, that's the missing hay from the Pasuk in Chagai, speaking to the fact that there were five things missing from Bayit Sheni, and one of them was Eish, Eish Min HaShemayim. Amrei in, Mehavaha V'siyu Lo Misayeya. So the Gemara says, it was there, just didn't do anything. Meaning it was an ineffective Eish, which by the way, speaks well to what Tosfos just suggested. Meaning that the Urim V'Tumim was there, it was ineffective Urim V'Tumim. So now the same basic idea regarding the Eish. The Eish was there, it was just ineffective, it didn't do anything.
Why did they build an Urim? What was the problem about making an Urim Kodesh?
What are you suggesting? That they just build it?
Yeah, why not? Then you have a Chiyuv, they have the Klei HaMishkan, the
right.
Mikdash, they build an Urim.
Right.
You don't have the Eidos, you don't have the... So what?
Right. So some say, I don't remember the source for this, but some say that the Urim was Nignas right under the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So the armor was there; it was just not visible. But I don't remember. I don't have a Mar Malkum for that. Okay, Tanu Rabbanan, Eishos Hain. Okay. And we end the parak over here with a description of fire. Okay, fire becomes the last topic of discussion in the first parak of Yuma. And the reason why is because we just got done discussing that when it comes to the Mizbeach, so there was an Esh on the Mizbeach. Two Ishim on the Mizbeach. An Esh that we created, an Esh that was brought down from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. First base of Mikdash, that Esh by HaKadosh Baruch Hu consumed. So now what we're basically going to do is we're going to categorize fire into six categories. Prior to the daf today, I don't know if I can't even come up with six categories of fire, but the Gemara is going to break it up into six categories. Tanan Rabban and Shesh Esh Oseim. Yesh Ocheles Veino Shoseh. So there are fire that Ochel consumes, but it doesn't drink. Okay? That's usually the fires that we're accustomed to. Okay? Try to light water on fire. It's not going to work. Try to light objects on fire, so if it's as long as it's flammable, so it'll take hold. Gemara is going to point out, and that's the fire that we know. So yesho chalas ve'eno shoseh. V'yesho seh ve'eno ocheles. There's a fire that drinks but does not eat. Okay, great question to ask tonight at the Shabbos table. Can you possibly think of what we're talking about right now? Well, the answer is coming up in just a moment. That's a great question. It drinks but it doesn't eat. Number three. Yesh ocheles v'shoseh. So there's a fire that both eats and drinks. Number four. Yesh ocheles lachim ki aveshim. It's able to consume moist items as much as it's as well as it can consume dry items. V'yesh, number five. V'yesh eish doche eish. One fire can push another fire. And finally, number six. Yesh eish ocheles eish. A fire can consume another fire. Okay, six different types of fires. So we start off with the first one. The Gemara is going to go through each one and explain each one. So yesh eish ocheles ve'no shoseh hadidan. So the Gemara says, as far as category number one, so that's easy. That's any fire that you and I look at. Okay, it consumes, but it doesn't drink. Good. That's what we would call the regular fire. Okay, now that accounts for fire number one. We got five more fires to get through, and basically it's not of this world. Okay, good. So now we know it's not of this world. Shoseh ve'eno ocheles. Okay, here's your answer for your Shabbos riddle. Shoseh ve'eno ocheles. What fire is going to drink but doesn't eat? Decholin. So the Gemara says the fire of somebody who's sick. Rashi brings down, when you're sick, when you're ill, so you need to drink, right? I know, it's what everyone's mother tells them when they're sick. Drink. So, but mom's right. And Rashi says, min hakadachas, let's say you have a burning fever, shehu ke'esh, so that is like a fire, an internal fire in your body, v'tzameh l'mayim ve'eno chafetz l'achol. You lose your appetite, so it doesn't consume, it's eino ochel, but at the same time, you're going to want to drink. So that's a fire of drinking but not eating. Number three, ocheles v'shoseh de Eliyahu. So in terms of the fire that both eats and drinks, so that's the fire of Eliyahu dechtiv esamayim asher b'ta'ala lachka. Okay, Eliyahu Anavi, when he was on Har Carmel. So remember, he went to battle with the Nevi'e Baal, and prior to him asking Kadosh Baruch Hu, please bring down the fires in order to consume the carbon. So remember what he did? Poured water on the Mizbeach. So, okay, that fire did both. It was Ochel and Shoseh. Number four, Ocheles Lachin Ki Yaveshim Demaracha. So the fire that gets through moist as much as it gets through dry, so that's the fire in the Maracha. Yesh, we're up to number five. Yesh Eish Doche Eish. Fire that pushes away other fires, the Gavriel. That's a Malach Gavriel. Malach Gavriel is the Malach in charge of Eish. All right, we saw this recently at the end of Pesachim. Rashi brings it down. Yarlatzu Chanan Mishal Vazaria Shetzinen Esakivsha Mibifnim Veitich Mibachut. So somehow Gavriel comes down, and as Chanan Mishal and Azariah were thrown into the Kivshana Eish by Nebuchadnezzar. So what happens is Gavriel comes down, and even though he's a Malach Eish, he's able to cool off the internal area of the furnace, while at the same time, pushing it into the outside. Lestrofet Zarkehem. It burned the people who threw them in.
He also went to Sodom
as well, which is, well, right, but that he went to Sodom to burn Sodom. Right, that was his job.
Right.
Right, correct. But here the Gemara is just illustrating how he as a fire is able to push off other fires. So that's Eish Doche Eish. And finally, number six, Yesh Eish Ochel Es Eish, that's the Shechina. Damamar, Hoshi, that's Baal Beinayim V'Sarfan. Okay, that's a Kadosh Baruch Hu, that's the Shechina. The Shechina is Eish Ochel Es Eish. Rashi quotes the Gemara in Sanhedrin. There was a group of Malachim. Who were claiming Ma Enoshkitis Karenu, meaning, okay, let's give up on this experiment known as mankind. It's not working. And the Shechina was burning the Malachim, even though the Malachim were Eish. Kadosh Baruch Hu, that's the Shechina, well, that's Eish Ochelas Eish. Okay. V'ashan Amaracham. Okay, we're good. And a postscript to the whole story. And that is the Ashan Amaracham. So what do we say? We enumerated today, over the course of today's daf, we enumerated the 10 miracles that take place in the Beis HaMikdash. We went through various types of fires, 6 different types of fires that we just categorized. Good. The Gemara now is just a postscript to this whole daf today, and that is the column of smoke that comes off the Maracha. As we concluded, there is a column of smoke, and as we also concluded, one of the miracles that take place in the Beis HaMikdash is the column of smoke went up. And even if there was a wind, the column of smoke did not veer, did not deviate, nor to the right, nor to the left. Meanwhile, you get to Motzei Yantif. So Yantif is over, we're talking about Sukkos, and now we're on Shmini Atzeres, and what is everyone doing? Looking at the Maracha. We're looking at the pillar of smoke. Another good Rashi for today. Motzei Yantif Achron Shel Chag. Shemei Esmol. Rashi says, because yesterday, what's yesterday?
Hoshana Rabbah.
Nischatem Gzardinam Al Gishmei Shana. So that's it. That's the Chasima Sadin. We're judged on Sukkos for rain. Kedanam B'chag Nidonim Alamayim. On Sukkos, we're judged on water. And now we understand Pshat, meaning not on Sukkos, but meaning at the termination of Sukkos, meaning the conclusion of Sukkos. Sukkos is 7-day Yantif. Right? We know there's another day that comes after, that's Shmini Atzeres. That's Regel Bifnei Atzmo. So the Gemara says that on Shmini Atzeres now we look for the column of smoke. Because now that we were just judged Al Amayim, so now we have the real farmer's almanac. And when we look at this column of smoke, it's going to speak to what kind of year we're going to have in terms of rain. So note to copy cell phone. So if the column of smoke is now moving to the north, conclusion is poor people are ecstatic, and the balabatim are not happy. What that means in terms of the kind of year of rain we're going to have is that the gishmei shana are going to be plentiful, and that means then that there's going to be an abundance of fruit. Basic economics law of supply and demand. A lot of fruit. Prices go down. So Baal Batim are not going to be making a lot of money this year. And the Aniyim are going to have cheap fruit over the course of this year. Good. Now to Kapi Darom. If the pillar of smoke moves in the direction of the south, that means that there's a wind coming from the north. So Aniyim Atzavim V'Baal Batim Smeichim. We're going the other direction. So that means that there's not going to be a lot of fruit. And so that means that the supply is going to go low, demand is going to go high, prices are going up, poor people are unhappy. Now to copy Mizrach, if it goes in the direction of the east, so everyone's happy. Rashi says it's a perfect amount. It's a perfect balance between the rain, the price, supply and demand, nice and level, everyone's happy. Now, if the column is being pushed to the west, that means the wind's coming from the east. So everyone's unhappy. That eastern wind is a disaster. Rashi writes, it dries up all the seeds. So everything gets dry. So the Gemara is bothered by a question. How can you tell me the column of smoke doesn't move? It moves. And not only does it move, we want it to move. It will tell us what kind of year we're going to have. So the Gemara's answer, very simple, very straightforward. So the Gemara says, yeah, the column is going to move. But right, great imagery. Right, the column is going to shuckle, but it's not. But the column is not going to disperse. So it still will be a column of smoke, but the column is going to move north, south, east, west, depending on what wind is blowing, in order to indicate what kind of year of rain we're going to have. The Gemara notes that it seems to be we have a blatant stira, Mizrachis la'olam yafe, ma'aravis la'olam kasha. The east is always good, and the west is always bad. Ruch tzfonis yafe l'chitim b'shash yevu shlish. The kasha l'zeitim is manshein chontin. The northern wind is great for the grains, not for the olives. The Ruach Duram is the southern wind, Kash Lechita Meshashe V'Shlish V'Yafel Azeitim is Machen Chonten. Bad for the grain, great for the olives. V'Amar Rav Yosef Yitema Marzuch V'Siman Chashocha Mitzafa Menor B'Darin. You want a great mnemonic to help you remember this? So think about the placement of the Shochan and the Menorah. Now it's a great mnemonic if you know where the Shochan and Menorah is, but you could take a look at the Azara over there. You could take a look at the base. The Mikdash Shochan was in the north, Menorah was in the south. Menorah was fueled by olive oil. So that means that the southern wind is good for the olive oil, for the olives. The Shulchan, which had the lechem on it, lechem obviously was wheat, that was in the north. So the northern wind is good for that. So, haimar b'didei, v'haimar b'didei. Northern wind good for the wheat, southern wind good for the olives. Anyway, problem is, our east and west. So our east and west trajectory winds, so it seems to be that we have a basic discrepancy between what we just described earlier, and what the Bryce over here describes, lo kasha halan v'halahu. So the Gemara says, not a difficulty. Meaning it depends whether you're talking about Eretz Yisrael or you're talking about Bavel. So Rashi brings down, Mizrachis yafa l'Eretz Bavel, she Eretz l'acha. The eastern wind, which is a dry wind, so if you're living in Bavel, perfect. We don't need the rain. So it's the Fertile Crescent. It's called fertile for a reason. Machmas me meha. Two rivers that were supplying the water, so we don't need it. In fact, not only do we not need it, if it gets rain, it'll be too much, it'll flood. So in Bava, we're looking forward to those eastern winds. That's what the Bryson was describing. But in Eretz Yisrael, just the opposite, we need the rain, right? A hilly land, mountainous land. So we need the rain, so therefore the eastern wind would be a disaster for Eretz Yisrael. So that Gemara says, fine, so there's no stira, we're just simply coming from two different perspectives. The perspective of Eretz Yisrael versus the perspective of Bavel. Okay, today's daf, we finished up the machlokas in terms of what is cross. Like I ever mentioned the Mishnah, all the way back on daf chav. Is it talking about a person? It's talking about a rooster. Machlokas tanaim, machlokas between the brisos. And we finished up today's daf with the Asar Nisim, the 10 miracles that took place during Bais Rishon, not occurring during Bais Sheni. And to which the Gemara then went on to discuss and actually categorize and account for the 10 miracles. We had to consolidate a couple, add a couple, we got to the number 10. And then we finished off the daf today with the six fires, six different types of fires. And finally, the end of today's daf was the column of smoke. Didn't move, but on the Motzei Yantav, right after Hoshana Rabbah, after we were judged on the kind of year we're going to have, it served as a way of foretelling what kind of prognosticating, what kind of year we're going to have in terms of rain and the directions. And then the Gemara noted the last thing is the difference between Eretz Yisrael and Bavel. Eretz Yisrael, we needed rain. Bavel, we didn't need rain. And so therefore, the eastern wind was good for Bavel, bad for Eretz Yisrael. Adkan.